Good morning, and you're very welcome to the first episode of Ours to Protect with John Morley. This is the first in a six-part series. We'll be coming to you at 10 past 11 on the last Thursday of every month between now and October. This week we'll be speaking all about biodiversity with Mary Birmingham, the co-founder of the Burra Nature Sanctuary, and Professor Grace McCormack from the School of Natural Sciences at the University of Galway. She's the head of that department. We'll also be hearing from students of Lacan National School, Briar Hill National School and St. Gerald's College at Tuam. Ours Protect is funded by Commission in Mon with the television licence fee and is in partnership between Galway Bay FM and the IBI. This is Ours to Protect. Good morning, you're very welcome to Ours to Protect with John Morley. First, we're going to hear from the students of Briar Hill National School.
Biodiversity is the variety of all living things on Earth, plants, animals, fungi, and microorganisms and the ecosystems they form.
It is important because every living thing has its own place, such as plants produce oxygen for living things to breathe, animals keep the food chain in place, and microorganisms, like good ones, fight diseases, and some make food, such as bread and cheese.
What different types of plants and animals are found in your local area?
You can find some sunflowers, some daisies, and I think you can find some hedgehogs, maybe some cats, and then you could find maybe a dog, maybe.
Humans impact biodiversity positively by helping the earth in some ways by not using as much electricity and not using a lot of diesel and petrol. And some humans can affect it negatively by dumping rubbish on the roads or blowing off fumes and stuff and not taking care of the surroundings around them.
It is important to protect different habitats so that different things can thrive. Like foxes and like wolves will thrive in forests, so you need to not deforest and protect them. Meadows can like inhabit hares and different types of wildflowers that can feed bees.
What can you do to help conserve biodiversity?
You can plant lots of different wildflowers and maybe like some trees. And make sure to use a lot of variety while doing that.
In my garden or like somewhere else, I would plant different plants like strawberries or like just flowers in general, and I don't litter too. I always throw them in bins.
You are listening to Ours to Protect. As we mentioned at the beginning of the program today, we're starting with biodiversity on our first of six episodes. And to discuss biodiversity, I'm joined by Mary Birmingham, who's co-founder of the Burra Nature Sanctuary in Kinvara. Mary, thank you for joining us today. First off, tell us a bit about the Burra Nature Sanctuary.
Yeah, so we have a lovely little traditional 50-acre farm. And in 2012, as an effort to fight against the biodiversity crisis, we handed our farm over to nature and we opened up the Burra Nature Sanctuary. And we've had a lot of fun along the way and a lot of challenges. But it's an ideal little site for a nature sanctuary because it has a mosaic of habitats. So we have a rewilded area. When we opened, one of the comments was, why do you need a sanctuary for bushes? But we moved on since then, and people understand that, you know, these little areas are very, very important. We have a wetland, a very unique wetland. We have an organic meadow that's a seed collecting site for the National Native Seed Bank, and we have traditional stone walled pastures, and grazing animals are part of the whole mosaic that keeps this ecosystem of insects, plants and wildlife in balance. But it is in jeopardy because it's only a tiny little site with no connection to other nature areas.
And for people who haven't been there before, what can they see and do at the Burra Nature Sanctuary?
So at the moment, we just sort of launched for the year and we have our botany talk and walk. We have the living collection of Burra flora at the Burra Nature Sanctuary. So we give, experts give a sort of 15-minute talk, introduce you to the plants that are flowering at the moment and tell you why it's such a special place for biodiversity. For instance, the mountain avens is flowering at the moment. It's an Arctic plant. It's actually the national plant of Iceland. And the only other place it flowers in the world is in the Burren area.
Wow. And tell us a bit about the biodiversity there in the Burra Nature Sanctuary.
So I suppose the wildflower meadow is a good place to start. My lovely 88-year-old neighbour passed away recently. She's actually American, and when she came to visit Ireland in the 50s, she said that all the fields and all the hay meadows were rainbows. And now when we drive along the roads, we see green hay meadows. And because there's a thing called a shifting baseline in it, that we are not 88 years old, so we don't remember that, we think the green hay meadows is normal. But when you look at our hay meadow, which we conserve very simply for biodiversity and has been certified organic for 30 years. We got a bunch of flowers this year from the Irish Organic Association, but it's never had chemicals. You'll see an array of plants, all colours. So I suppose the wildflower meadow is very, very special, and it's also the basis for our living collection for the Burren area.
And you're in the Burren lowlands, and it's quite a unique landscape.
It really is. So there's a whole water catchment area. That's a very special part of it. It comes down through the farm, obviously through the Cool Domain and Cool Park. And this huge river comes underneath our farm and goes out in Kinvara Bay. And when the tide comes in, our little freshwater turlet called the Disappearing Lake appears. But all these wetlands are around the Burren Lowlands area. And of course, the same cast limestone where you find these special rare orchids that you can see, like the bee orchid is just coming into flower now. And all these plants that the botanists come from globally to see is in the Burren area, which of course crosses County Clare and County Galway. And there is some lovely, exciting news that we've just recently heard, in that the UNESCO Geopark is putting together a team to include the Galway area of the Burren in the UNESCO Geopark.
Wow. And how long will that take to achieve?
Well, it's 12 years in the campaign to stop the boundary ending on the border of County Clare, because, of course, it was a project initiative from County Clare, and it's difficult to cross borders, but it could take 4 years to develop this application with the big team of the Burren Lowlands and all the ecologists in the Burren Lowlands area to develop the plan and to become a member of the Burren Geopark. You have to be a member of the Burren Ecotourism Network if you're a business. And to do that, you have to pass the Geopark Code of Conduct, which has very strict regulations for sustainability. So if you want to avail of that kind of great publicity of being in the UNESCO Geopark, you need to join the Burren Ecotourism Network.
Mm. And in terms of promoting biodiversity on the farm, what sort of practices do you put into place?
Well, to conserve the meadow, to promote it or to conserve it, to conserve the meadow, it's very, very simple. We have three conservation officers. They are our retired cows. One of them is a Highland and two belted Galloways. And they graze the meadow from October until the 1st of February. They're not fed out there, so we don't give them any extra bales of silage or haylage or feed. So they're not adding any nutrients to the meadow. Then all the grazing animals are taken off the 1st of February, and the flowers, as in the Burren, which has reverse transhumance in that the cattle are taken down in the summer, everything is taken off. The hay is cut, the haylage is cut as late in September as possible and baled, and then the cattle go back on. So very simple, non-invasive kind of conservation. And if you want your wildflower area in your garden to get better year after year, just follow that simple plan. Don't cut it until September. But when you do, you must take away the cuttings. So don't mulch your grass. Cut the grass when the flowers have seeded and then rake it away and take away your cuttings. And this is what Galway County Council need to do on the verges too, because it's lovely that they're joining the All Ireland Pollinator Plan and letting the flowers grow on the verges. They need to leave them till September and then take away the cuttings. Otherwise, you're only going to get the strong weeds every year.
How important are the animals on the farm for promoting biodiversity?
So it's very important to have a mix of habitats to maintain an ecosystem. So our grazing animals, we have some farm pets and some rescues. We have donkeys and the remains of our suckler cow herd. So because they're organic, their dung is food for insects. And you can see the amount of birds and bats, including the lesser horseshoe bat, down in the wetland area, feeding off the meadow because the dung has created a habitat for insects. Whereas in intensive farming, with if you give your cattle Ivermac and things that the cattle are now becoming immune to, the insects don't feed off that, and that's a cascading effect. Then the birds don't have any food, etc.
Mm. And in terms of improvements which could be made to promote biodiversity, corridors for wildlife, how important would that be?
Super important. I think it's really one of the top things, and there is a possibility of a win-win situation. I know the Athenry Greenway is a touchy subject, but it's coming to the back of our farm, which we're very happy about. And the Greenway has a budget for privacy hedging. Obviously, if it's going through someone's house, they can plant a hedge. Now, if that budget was used all the way along the greenways, you have an instant wildlife corridor. We're a little island of 50 acres in a desert of intensive farming, which is highly fertilized and, you know, chemicals on. So whatever is in the 50 acres at the Burren Nature Sanctuary, it's going to be very hard to increase biodiversity, but the knock-on effect of joining up these little areas of nature is going to amplify the biodiversity to no end.
Mm. And do you have any tips for people to promote biodiversity in their own garden?
In their own garden, well, one thing I would really hope if people would stop using rat poison. That's really, if you go onto the barn owl projects, you'll see that 88% of the barn owls are killed by rat poison. Even though you put your poison in a kind of a black plastic thing so animals can't go in, the rodents go out and die. And then the barn owls eat the dead rodents. Now, a barn owl can eat 1,000 to 2,000 mice and rats a year. So we need to support the barn owls. As I said, your wildflower area, if you just manage it the way I suggested, and, you know, for globally, so we have to think locally and globally. So locally, we're doing very well with, for instance, the Kinvara Tidy Towns, and they won a Pride of Place Award last year for biodiversity. And they're really a torchbearer in the Tidy Towns for biodiversity. If anyone wants information or wants to get inspiration, get onto them. They're incredible. So you can do local efforts like the All-Ireland Pollinator Plan, but then you have to think on a global level. You know, you really have to think, so what is happening? For instance, if you buy organic, you may not think that you're helping biodiversity in your area. But and now organic food is becoming cheaper in the likes of Lidl and Aldi. I don't know if I'm allowed to say their names, but what you're doing is promoting a regenerative farming system that's going to help biodiversity in Ireland. So buy organic would be one of my top tips if you can.
And things have been going well for you in terms of you got your 30-year organic status. You've done quite well in acres as well. There's a lot of excitement things happening there. Are you positive for the future in terms of biodiversity?
I am very positive. It's about not overwhelming people. You know, you can show them the sobering facts. For instance, we're down at the bottom of forestry cover in Europe. We have a Loch Ness up in the north that's completely polluted, that services 40% of the water in the north of Ireland. We have a 1.6 million pigs in intensive agriculture in barns and stuck in farrowing crates. So, you know, you can look at the sobering facts, but I am positive because I teach biodiversity as well, and everybody cares when you get down to it. You know, you just really have to introduce people to nature. And that's what we're trying to do in a fun way. I mean, I did hear today that the biggest news on your rival station is that Peppa Pig had a baby. But pigs are just the cutest animals. And we have an experience called Meet the Mini Pigs. And it really is, animals are the first step into getting introduced to nature. It's very easy to, feed a goat or something. Everybody loves doing that. And then you move on to finding out what this plant is called. And we have a thing called the Botany Talk and Walk that we do for the Burren Botany. Once you've been introduced to a plant and you know their name, you're far more likely to care about them, because the next time you're out on your walk up in the Burren, you'll say, oh yeah, that's a bee orchid. I already know that name. So it's about connecting people to biodiversity. And there's a little bit of a miss, because the older generation, they get it, they understand it, and they recognize it. And the younger generation too, it's naturally they're connected to nature. And we've kind of lost it in the middle by trying to be intensive and trying to support ourselves with livelihoods and being trained how to be intensive in farming. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we were trying to create a livelihood for the country, but things have to shift and we need to go back to a more regenerative island, really.
We have a voucher to give away for the Botany Walk at the Burren Nature Sanctuary, and all you have to do is text in nature to 086 3833 553 with your name and location right now to be in with a chance of winning that as well. But Mary Birmingham, co-founder of the Burren Nature Sanctuary, thank you for joining us on Goa Talks this morning. Now it's time we hear from the students of Lacka National School all about biodiversity.
Biodiversity is a plan to help animals from getting extinct and also some plants from getting extinct.
It's like different types of animals and plants and like wildlife.
It's like helping endangered and rare plants and animals.
Do you think humans affect biodiversity?
Yeah, they do, by like throwing out a load of food and pollution and making fires in their homes.
And what kind of plants and animals would you see around your home?
You could see, like, if you're in a forest, you might see like deers and foxes and stuff. You might see dogs and stuff around.
I'd normally see dogs, cats, a couple of foxes in the fields, and any kind of hedgehogs, frogs, or any animal that wanders.
What would be your favourite part of biodiversity?
Probably seeing all the animals be free and happy and all the plants growing.
And do you guys do anything to help biodiversity grow?
Yes, we make sure to put our stuff in the right bins, recycle plastic bottles, those kind of things, and we recycle batteries. That's what we do, really.
And what do you do to help biodiversity?
We put our rubbish in the correct bins. We turn off the lights. We recycle, reuse, and reduce. And we put our bottles in the bottle bank.
You're listening to Ours to Protect, and I'm joined now at the University of Galway by the Professor Grace McCormack, who is the head of the School of Natural Sciences here at the University. Biodiversity and bees, how important is it that we protect our ecosystems for bees?
Well, I mean, really important. I think everybody really knows how important bees are to the planet in terms of their pollination efficiency. So they pollinate most of the food we eat and also all of the wild crops. So without our bees, how long would we survive on the planet?
Tell us about the work you're doing here with bees. I know that a very novel new research project was launched just last week.
Yeah, so we are actually leading the way in Europe, in Galway, due to the help of Irish beekeepers and members of the public, where we have been studying our wild honeybee population now for the last number of years. And we now got a new EU project where we are sharing our knowledge and developing this to find where wild honeybees exist in Europe. And also really important is why they can exist. So because of the transport global trade of honeybees, pests and diseases have also been traded, have also come in with the traded bees. So we had this parasitic mite called Varroa enter Ireland in 1998, and it decimates colonies. So beekeepers treat their colonies multiple times a year, some once a year, some multiple times a year, with chemicals in order to kill this parasite. But the wild colonies can survive without that. Some beekeepers feed their bees during the year. Wild colonies don't get fed and they survive. So we now know the wild colonies can survive multiple years. So we think that studying these wild colonies will understand how they can survive, and that might be very useful to beekeepers as well. And so really, I suppose we're also studying, it's the native Irish honeybee in Ireland, but it's the northern brown bee or the black bee across northern Europe. And this is endangered over a lot of its range. So in Ireland, we have this really healthy population of this bee. So we want to protect all aspects of that bee.
Now, we're standing outside the computer science building and outside one of your colonies here at the University of Galway campus. You actually have a biodiversity trail here. Does that help with the bee colonies?
We have a log hive which here beside us, which is a habitat hive for wild honeybees. So here in Galway, we do a lot of, so environmental science staff and researchers work a lot on biodiversity in the Galway area with the Terryland Forest Park as well. So we have this biodiversity trail here where we're trying to maintain biodiversity and actually, but raise awareness about biodiversity because it's really important. So from the bees' perspective, the honeybees, well, they're in an interesting position, honeybees are. So, and what we're trying to promote is actually that honeybees are not, some people regard them as a domesticated species. And it's kind of like almost a derogatory term, like you're bee farming. Whereas actually in Ireland, people don't really bee farm. Some do. There's a few people that have import highly selected strains of bees. What we're trying to do is actually, and most beekeepers in the country want to protect and conserve the biodiversity of our native honeybee. So what I would say is that by creating habitat and by thinking and raising awareness about wild honeybees, we would like to also extend that to all of our wild bee species. So we have like over 100 wild bee species in Ireland. Some of them, the honeybee is not, as a species, is not endangered. The wild honeybee is endangered over much of Europe, including Ireland. And actually our native Irish honeybee subspecies is endangered over most of its range. So by raising awareness of honeybees as a wild species and what those honeybees need in terms of protection, that should also be extended to other wild bee species. And actually some of our wild bee species are under much greater threat of extinction. And so, you know, we don't want to be thinking about habitat and forage availability for those, you know.
What can be done to safeguard wild bees into the future here in Ireland?
I think some of the main elements are providing habitats, so providing nesting spaces for them. So making sure, be it like a heap of sand, be it a proper bee hotel or like stone walls, somewhere where they can nest, both solitary and social bees, and then forage. So actually the main thing I would say, if you're trying to protect bees, there was a move a number of years ago when people hear about the decline of honeybees to go and get a beehive, and I would say no, don't get a beehive. Getting a beehive is part of Ireland's heritage in some way. Some people do have bees because they've always been in the family. But if you've never kept bees before and you want to help bees, I would say do not get a beehive, because if you have too many honeybees in an area, they will put too much competition to all of the other bees. So that's not the solution. The solution is to plant pollinator-friendly plants. Don't use pesticides where you don't have to. I mean, I see some people spraying areas and I think, why are they spraying this area? It looks worse sprayed than it does unsprayed. And what are you actually doing? So not spraying pesticides, really thinking about how to control weeds without chemicals, planting pollinator-friendly plants and making habitats available.
And how important are bees and native bees here in Ireland to biodiversity and ecosystems?
Very important. I mean, obviously, like bees, honeybees and other bees, and solitary bees and hoverflies and other species will pollinate our plants. Without our plants, where would we be? So they're a fundamental part of the ecosystem. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's very, very clear that bees and including honeybees are a crucial part of our ecosystem.
And do you have any exciting plans going forward? I know we've mentioned the new project, which hopes to share some research and reduce mortality rates and improve sustainability in beekeeping.
Yeah, we're really excited about it because up to now we've not really been able to study, do a deep dive into honeybee nests to see how these wild colonies are surviving. So we're also looking at the relationship between the bees and the cavities in trees, because we think there's probably some relationship between the the tree cavity supporting bee health, but also the presence of the bees supporting tree health. So we're hoping to get some real good insights there about the... And also, like, beehives are very sterile environments. So a lot of beekeepers clean everything and remove a lot of biodiversity from the hives because to promote the honeybee health. But what we're trying to see is, well, what is also living in a natural cavity? There's a huge biodiversity that would be associated with bees that we don't even know anything about. The fungi, you know, all the little arthropods, the bacteria that are living as commensals, you know, in relationship with the bees and the trees.
And bees themselves, are they important food for other insects?
Bees. Honeybees. Honeybees, no. Not for other insects. I guess birds will feed on honeybees. I guess insects in the cavity. So basically, yes, you have a whole ecosystem in the cavity, in the nest. So when the bees are no longer using the wax, you've got wax moths, the greater and lesser wax moth in there. You have various pollen mites. So if you look at the fallout underneath the colony, you have quite a lot of insects that I don't even know what they are. I know there's at least two species of pollen mites, but you see a lot of stuff around there feeding on the debris from the hive that we don't really know very much about yet.
Are government doing enough to protect wild and native bees?
So I think from a honeybee perspective, they tend to fall between two stools. So some people regard them as a domesticated species, but they're not. But they're kind of fall within the business of the Department of Agriculture and also then Chagas. But they're not particularly interested in honeybees, you know, in comparison to dairy industry and so on. And national parks are now that we know that we have a distinct ecotype in Ireland, we need to do some work maybe on protecting that. So I would say the All-Ireland Pollinator Plan is a brilliant initiative, and I think that's getting pretty good support. I think more could be done in terms of, I would be afraid now at this point, we know we have a distinct ecotype of Irish honeybee that's uniquely adapted to Ireland. And there is a real risk that we will lose that if imports aren't stopped, for example, or some mechanisms put in place to protect them. And there isn't anything yet.
What is Galway like for native and wild honeybees?
Ireland in general is really good for our native and wild honeybees. Galway is... Galway, we have a mixture. So actually in our apiary here at the university, we have really good native bees. And when we breed from them, we get native bees back. You know, I mean, there's a lot of native bees in the area, but some places in the city, there's a lot of imported bees and hybrid bees. And actually Connemara used to be a really good place for native bees, and somebody brought in imported bees, and now they're really struggling to keep things pure out there. Now there are many of the Connemara beekeepers have pure native bees, but they kind of, when they're trying to rear queens, quite often the queens are being interbred with other things. South Galway as well, we have problems with imports. So it's patchy in Galway City. We've got some areas with really high purity of native bees and some areas where we have problems.
Professor Grace McCormack, the head of the School of Natural Sciences at the University of Galway, thank you for joining us on Earth to Protect.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, William. It's nice to talk to you.
Here's what the students of St. Gerald's College in Tuam had to say about biodiversity.
Biodiversity is having like loads of different types of animals and plants around you and keeping them safe.
A lot of bees and hares around the school who live here.
And why is it important to protect habitats?
It's important for the environment, for the habitats of different animals. And like most societies live off some of the habitats as well.
It preserves endangered species.
And how would you preserve habitats?
By letting the grass grow taller for insects to live in them, and grow more wildflowers to let bees be introduced to the area.
Do you do anything at home or school to help improve biodiversity?
At school, the Green Schools Committee have been making bird feeders to feed birds. We did an open night stand to help raise awareness for biodiversity, and we also have litter picks around Tuam.
We have a school visit set up for September for a Green Schools expert to help us do a habitat study. We also have researched a pollinator program, which we hope to implement next year.
Would humans impact biodiversity in any way?
Yes, a lot of deforestation or just ruining the environment where, like, a huge array of animals living could affect biodiversity.
You've been listening to Ireland's Protect, brought to you by Galway BFM and IBI and funded through Commission in Man with a television licence fee. My thanks to Lacan National School, Briarhill National School and St. Gerald's College of Tuam for their contributions, as well as our reporter Chloe Nolan. We'll be back with episode 2 of the series on June the 26th, when our topic will be food waste.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by Galway Bay FM, the IBI, and funded by Commission na Mban with the television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more info.